I'm Rachel.
And I'm Courtney.
And this is
Uncut Geminis.
Woo! Okay, we did a really good clap to start our audio, so I think that is good sign. Good sign.
Good omen. Good omen right here.
Oh my god. Ugh, it's always like, is Ezra happy with us? Is how I feel.
We just want to make Ezra our darling producer.
I'm proud. Making this podcast solely for him.
You know what? That's what they say about art, is like, you can't try to adapt your shit for anyone, like for a mass audience.
Podcast producer.
No, you have to pick one person. Like, people are like, you have to pick one person that you make your content for.
And
ours
yourself?
Is Ezra, I guess. Ours is Ezra.
I hope he feels good about that. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Courtney, who are you this week?
Okay, this week I am a grown woman. I am like an adult woman. I very often feel like I am Britney Spears, Crossroads, not a girl, not yet a woman.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, very much like outing myself for how immature I am. But like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I don't know how to fucking do taxes. Like, I don't want to, I don't like adult things, you know?
No, I think that we should get another parent. By the time we're like 26, 27, another parent should come in. And I don't mean like a mentor. Like, I don't need somebody to tell me, well, maybe I do, how to do my job in my life. But I mean like somebody to come in and say, press this button on your computer to make this. Actually, before we started earlier today, I was looking at our schedule spreadsheet and I could not figure out how to loop the Excel where all the text goes in the same box and you could see it. And I called my boyfriend and I was like, how do I do this? He was like, oh man, and explained it to me over the phone. And he was like, I've never seen anybody get so excited about how to work an Excel spreadsheet. And I'm like, this is life-changing. You don't even know.
This is adulthood. This is 40.
Like, it's so hard. So you're an adult woman.
Okay, yeah. I'm an adult woman because, one, we had last week the Roe v. Wade decision. That was very much like, you know, that's some adult shit. That's some fucking dark adult shit. The other thing that happened was over the weekend, my wisdom tooth really dropped. And so wisdom tooth mixtape drop, and I had to deal with like dentistry and like just like fucking healthcare. Like, I don't have health insurance, obviously.
Who does?
Why would
in
I?
America?
Come on.
Oh my god.
What am I, a banker? Come on. Yeah. What am I, a child? Yeah. No, I'm not.
What so am I? Don't have an actual insurance. Job with a 401k?
What? Fuck no. I'm a meme admin, which is why I don't have a mentor. Like, I don't have anyone to guide me in my career. Like, who the fuck can tell me how to be a meme admin for money?
Wait, you're not telling me that somebody did this job 50 years ago?
No, believe it or not, I don't have, like, someone in their 60s who can tell me, like, oh, this is what you need to do, and how can you community build? I'm like, no, fuck that. I am carving my own path. Yeah. I am. As a meme admin for a career, and it's fucking weird, and I feel like an adult woman this week. Rachel, who are you this week?
Well, I've really discovered who I am through listening to you talk, as I do probably every time, every day.
Wow, honored.
I am a freeloader this week, is what it is. I am somebody who is not going to brush my hair. You cannot make me. I have no desire to spend the 30 minutes brushing my hair out. That sounds
30
hard.
Minutes?
It's just like tangly. I've let it go too far. I've let it go too far like a freeloader. Like,
that's a problem.
I know.
I mean, like, but I mean, you know, do you?
I know. I have really thick hair and I am not going to do my laundry from traveling. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'm not going to make myself dinner. That's not going to happen. And thank God I live with someone and I live with my boyfriend who is, I come home and he's made dinner. He also is much better at making dinner, I must say that. But like, I don't think I would eat because I don't have the energy to take care of myself. I have the energy to freeload in my own house.
Okay, you know what? Two things. One, I think that's Virgo shit. I feel like every Virgo is good at cooking. Like, and every Gemini is shit at cooking. I love cooking pasta, but like, you know what? Pasta is the easiest shit in the world.
Right.
Two, in terms of freeloading on our fucking boyfriends, I think that is 100% fine when our rights are being stripped left and right. My boyfriend can do the fucking dishes this week, and that's his responsibility.
You're right. You know what? If you have a boyfriend, or if you are affected by Roe v. Wade, you deserve to freeload. You deserve to not do shit, and other people are handling that shit for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Don't cook yourself dinner.
This week is cis men do the chores.
Cis men do the chores. That's how we feel. And yeah, I've done too much.
So we're going to keep freeloading, I would say.
Yeah, I hope that's good. I mean, you're like, I'm an adult, and I'm like, I'm a freeloader.
We'll find the balance somewhere. Next week, we'll find the balance.
Well, tell me why I'm feeling this way. Like, what is going on astrologically? What's going on in the planets? What's happening?
Okay, well, we're starting off Cancer season. I feel like as Geminis, you know, usually the seasons, just in general, usually the seasons, like, before and after your sign are, like, a little, you know, they're not the most harmonious. They're a little friction-y. Although, I love Taurus season, but maybe this is just Cancer season for me. I feel like I get really lethargic because it's, like, a sign of sensitivity and being moody, and
I feel like I'm getting, like, beat up. No matter how hard I try, it's like an ocean pushing me back down.
Wow, just those waves lapping at you. Tonight is the new moon.
Okay.
So this episode is going to drop tomorrow, but tonight, you know, whatever, we're recording this on Wednesday. This episode is going to drop Thursday, and tonight is the new moon in Cancer. So new moons are a really good time to, like, start fresh. You know, they're really good for, like, manifesting, charging your crystals, making moon water, setting, like, intentions. It's very much like, what do you want to do in the next month? Like, in the next moon cycle, lunar cycle.
What is moon water?
Oh my God. Moon water. My friend Sophie introduced me to this. And what it is you put, like, a cup of water in, like, ideally a clear glass out, and you set an intention on, like, a piece of paper, and you put it underneath the glass. And so it's supposed to happen, and you have to leave it in, like, the light of the moon.
I love that.
So I think people also do this on the full moon. But what happens is, like, it's supposed to just, like, it shines down, and, like, although I guess new moons are dark, so maybe this is a full moon thing.
I just like anything that involves, like, setting an intention. Like, I think this time last year, around this Cancer season, around this new moon, I was away shooting a film, and somebody I was shooting with was really into the new moon, and we did a really cool thing where we all wrote our intentions, just, like, sitting around a fire on a piece of paper, and then we burned them, and it just felt really nice to give this time and give this space and do something with people that I was making creative things with.
Ugh, I love that shit. I absolutely love, like, a witchy ritual. I love fun shit like that. You're supposed to use moon water. Either you, like, drink it, or you can, like, water your plants with it. So people do all kinds of shit with, like, their charged moon water.
Yeah.
I drank mine the last time I made it, and I was just like, this is water. But that's fine.
I feel like I've been in this time, like, after getting back from traveling, I went upstate in California and spent some time just lying in the sun with some of my friends. And it was just so nice to just, like, take time to soak up the earth. I felt like a lizard. Like, I was just having, like, this beautiful lizard time, just having the hot sun on me and getting to spend time with friends was really nice after, like, trying to work so hard and be so creative. I was like, oh, we actually need this as humans to be around other people who are meaningful to us.
You know what? That is so Cancer season. I gotta say it. I'm sorry. And I had, like, similar thing this weekend. My sister was in town. Cancer's, like, the sign of family. It's a water sign. My sister was in town, and we went to the beach, and it was, like, similar. Like, I had my lizard time. We hung out. We laid in the sand, and my sister was like, I mean, the water in the ocean is so fucking cold.
It's so cold. It's so cold.
It's so fucking cold here.
It's so, like, when I lived in New York City over the summer, I would go to the beach a lot, and the water gets really warm, and I would get in the water, I would jump waves. I mean, I'm from Oklahoma originally. There's no freaking oceans to jump waves in. So it was so fun. And then now when I'm in LA, it's so cold, the Pacific Ocean. Do they know this? Does the people who run the Pacific Ocean know how cold it is? We got to alert somebody.
Hello, Mrs. Mariana Trench. Are you aware it's too fucking cold here? No, yeah. Same, though. I mean, I'm from Texas. Like, those lakes are weirdly warm. Like, yeah. They're like, They're like kind of warm in a way where you're like, this is a little
I should not be in this. It's all pee. It's all pee.
Yeah, it's just like pee and trash. No, it's fine. And like motor oil from the boats.
Oh my God. So ruining our planet. Okay, so you got in the ocean.
Yeah, my sister was definitely the person among us who was like hanging back the most. Like she was the one who like didn't want to get in the waves. And when I go to the beach, because I know it's so fucking cold, I'm like, I just gotta do it. Like I've just gotta keep walking. Like, and so I try to be really like forward and bold, because I'm like, once I'm in, I'm gonna love it. Like once yeah. I, you know, and it's,
you keep walking till you're comfortable.
Yeah, that is exactly what I said. Okay, you stole my line.
But I stole your line.
She asked me, she was like, what? I already told Rachel that I said this. Yeah. Here I am like thinking I'm this like spiritual guru. My sister asked me this. She was like, what is your tip? Like why are you like, you, I don't know.
She's why like, do you keep going?
What's your tip for like getting in the water? Because she was right. Doing the thing of like, you know, like pussyfooting around it and like just like splashing her feet in. And I was just like, you just have to keep walking until you're comfortable. Because like if you stop when your like thighs are in, you're going to be like, oh, fuck, it's cold. If you stop when your stomach's in, that's the worst part because you're just like so sensitive. Yeah. But if you just keep walking and you don't stop until you're comfortable, then it's like, eventually you get hit by that one wave where you're like, okay, now I'm in, and it's refreshing and it's nice, you know?
It's a beautiful metaphor, truly. Keep walking till you're comfortable. It's a beautiful metaphor for life, for us making this freaking podcast, for, and I'm thinking about it different than just like jump in the deep end, because that's a different metaphor. That is a different metaphor than just keep walking till you're comfortable, one foot in front of the other.
Yeah. It's very, I don't know. It's very much like, I don't know. It kind of reminds me of those rules. I don't even remember whose rules these are. I feel like they were at like the Berklee College of Music or something like that. I'm absolutely making this up. We're going to fact check this. But these rules that like my friend shared that are from whatever, some professor, where it's like she has these 10 rules for work. And then one is like really big and highlighted. And it's like, despite having like 10 of these, she's like, the only real rule, like the only rule is work. Like,
just do the work.
You just have to, like, when you're making creative work, like, all you can do is generate stuff. You can't criticize it. You can't try to, like, edit too much or try to criticize it. Yeah, basically just, like, monitor it while you're making it. You just have to keep doing it, and it'll get better as you do it. And you'll get more comfortable, and you'll get higher quality stuff, but you just have to keep making it.
Keep walking so you're comfortable. I say that in my yoga classes. Like, I'm a yoga teacher, and that's the first thing I say when we start class. I always am like, showing up is the hardest part. And you already did that. You literally already did the hardest part of class. Like, anything else I'm about to ask you to do or guide you to do is not as hard as showing up. And I feel that so hard about so many things.
Except Warrior 2.
Except Warrior 2. I mean, but then even you just keep, you keep being in it till you're comfortable. It's kind of like a don't give up sort of thing. I don't know. So that's our vibe for Cancer season, or for this week. Keep walking till you're comfortable. Keep showing up.
It's very much like, it sounds like one of those plaques that like teachers have. You know, like one of those like wooden plaques with like little feet footprints on it, you know, where they're like
leading to sand.
Where they're like, keep dreaming, you know, like live, laugh, love. Keep walking till you're comfortable. It's like, hey, Corinthians 4:20, like whatever.
Oh my God. Well, okay, for June 30th, which is tomorrow for us, we have some celebrity birthdays.
Celeb birthdays. We got our Cancers of the Week.
Cancers of the Week.
We got Mike Tyson, emotional guy.
Mike Tyson, emotional. Guy. Very emotional guy. We got Michael Phelps, emotional guy. Okay.
Water sign known for being in the water.
For a little fishy boy.
Little fish. Okay.
Michael Phelps had the whole mental health thing. Like, that was his thing after being an Olympian. He was like, I smoke weed because I'm sad. I don't know, because he got in trouble for smoking weed. And then he was like, I run a mental health, I'm promoting that we should talk about this. I hope I'm right and I'm not totally making this up. We can back check this. But I'm, you know, so I don't know. Being an Olympian sounds hard. Hot take.
Oh my God. There are certain public figure jobs that I'm like I would fucking hate being the president. I don't know why anyone would ever want to be the president. Like, worst job in the fucking world. And like, Olympians, I feel like, are kind of similar. It's just like, you're just signing up for hate. You know, yeah. Like, when you're a child, you're just like, oh, I love swimming. I love gymnastics. And then it's, like, the best case scenario, you're the best in the world, and you just get, like, shit on. You know, like, you just get judged forever for all right. of your choices.
I would never do it. If somebody was like, you're so good, go faster, I'd be like, absolutely not. I don't really want to anymore.
And this is why we're, like, bootleg podcast hosts.
Well, I was going to say, you know what other job is the hardest in the world? Podcaster.
Podcasting.
It's really hard up in here to live our life. Sometimes you got to spend time on it. Anyway, okay, some other birthdays. Go for it.
We got Lizzie Kaplan, classic, you know, great actress. Very much like a romantic figure, you know? I feel like all the Cancer actresses are very romantic and sweet and soft, you know?
Kristen Bell. Not today, but a romantic.
No, anyway. Yeah, not today, but, like, you know, you're Margot Robbie's. You're, I want to say, Penelope Cruz. We're going to fact check. Actually, she might be a Taurus.
This might be some beautiful leeway to our top 10 Cancers. So if you have any ideas about who should be in our top 10 Cancers, start letting us know, because we're working on that. We're getting ideas.
We also got Lena Horne, and this is random. I don't know if anyone will know who this person is. It's Modest Yahoo's birthday. Modest Yahoo is, I should just read this because I really don't think anyone's going to know who this person is. Grammy Award nominated American Jewish singer Modest Yahoo is best known for mingling hip hop and reggae with beatboxing. Cut to, like, what, maybe 2012 or like 2011. My siblings and I went to his concert in New York because we were there in December, like, whatever, some family trip. And I think we just, like, didn't read the fine print. We were fully there for, like, his Hanukkah special. We are not Jewish. My sister has since actually converted to Judaism
because of this experience.
No, maybe this was her moment. Maybe this was her, like, this works for me.
I'm into this. I'm into the rapping.
We're just, like, slowly realizing throughout the night, we're like, oh, they're, like, lighting a menorah on stage right now. Should we be here? And meanwhile, he's, like, beatboxing and doing his concert, and we're like, oh, like, this is the part we're here for, but maybe these tickets should have gone to someone else.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time in 2010. Yeah. So, happy birthday to
those
Cancers.
Shouts to Modest Yahoo, shouts to June 30th birthdays.
If it's your birthday tomorrow, happy birthday.
Yeah. Oh, and we're also, we're entering the second Deacon of Cancer season. If you were born July 1st through July 10th, that is the second deacon or decanate of Cancer season. And so the ruler of this time is the moon. The ruler of Cancer is the moon. But the sub-ruler...
Shocker.
But the sub-ruler is Pluto. So these Cancers, if you were born in this time, you might be more intense, inward, secretive, mysterious. Yeah, a little more, like, inward focused.
I'm so scared of of mysterious people.
Right? Me too.
They know so many things that I don't know.
Dude, I am not remotely mysterious. I feel like I'm the most knowable person on the
planet. I'm the most knowable person. Literally, you could know anything about me anytime. Sometimes people, like, just see my Instagram story and then they're like, hey, I feel like this is going on with you. And I'm like, no, you just saw, like, me being open constantly 24/7. You haven't actually spoken to me.
Okay, do you feel like because you overshare on the internet, people think they know you better than they do?
I like that part of it, though. I don't mind that. But I do think that there are – I'm sure people feel they know me better than they do, but I feel I know other people better than I do. You know what I mean? I do that to a lot of people. But I guess sometimes I still want somebody to, like, text me and be like, how are you?
I feel like this is one time I asked you not this question. One time you said, though, you were like, when people ask me how I am, I'm like, can you just watch my Instagram story?
That's a tweet. That's what I'm like.
Which
I'm
is
like,
the direct opposite of this.
Well, I contain multitudes.
There we go. Hey, we contain multitudes. Shouts to Walt. Shouts to Walt Whitman. Gemini King.
We're making it about us as Geminis when this should be about Cancers. We are very excited.
They're fine. They're fine. They have their new moon tonight. Whatever.
Okay, that's our astrological situation for this week. We hope you're feeling similar to us. We hope that you get some lizard time in the sun. We hope that you are having a very reflective time and drink some moon water, if that's appropriate or not. We don't know. Can't wait to talk about our culture this week. We have so much shit to say. Shit being the word. We got shit to talk.
Yeah, shit to talk. Shit to talk. Okay, so first thing we're going to talk about is Elvis.
Elvis
is the biopic that just came out about Elvis Shocker Presley, starring Austin Butler as Elvis Presley. And Tom Hanks, as a man I have literally never heard of in my life, who was Elvis Presley's music manager, Colonel, I don't know if it's Colonel or Colonel, Colonel Tom Parker.
I got that straight from the Elvis website from Warner Brothers. That's what it said.
I was like, who the fuck is this?
Okay,
why is there no...
Why is he so bad? So this is Baz Luhrmann's newest film, who's known for Moulin Rouge and The Great Gatsby and being a, I don't know, crazy filmmaker. This movie was basically montages between Austin Butler and Tom Hanks as Elvis and Parker over the last 20 years of their life, which was just basically a bunch of giant crane shots of like what is actually happening. Who is actually important here? Who is telling this story? And is this movie for children? If you're over 5 years old, should you watch this movie? I don't know.
Okay, but I don't even know. I mean, a five-year-old would be like, what the fuck is all this historical context? Like, I don't know.
I guess it just feels like, it's like, is the historical context even correct? Like how they represent Elvis's life and how they represent Black people in this movie and this weird conversation between the two where Elvis is suddenly woke and knows that he is not doing correct by the Black community and rock and roll music and stealing it from them, but he's like kind of trying to help them, but he's also like, I'm gonna still do this and I am obsessed with my mom and get weirdly close to her where we're almost kissing as we talk to each other.
Oh my god, yeah. I was like, what is this like Psycho shit? Like actually like the movie Psycho. Yeah. I was like, why is his mom? It felt like, oh my god, this, like his mom had him so sexualized. It was like in Boogie Nights, like the mom with like Mark Wahlberg, where it's like, it felt like the mom was so, there's a scene where like Elvis like fucks a groupie and the mom is so upset and like upstairs, like listening. It was so weird. I was like, is this normal? Is this a fact? Like what the fuck is going on?
So weird.
But okay, more importantly, Tom Hanks, huge role in this. Don't know why. Definitely the worst acting I've ever seen in my life from Tom Hanks. Yeah. And I was like, who is this man that I've never heard of that I'm like has never in my life been part of Elvis's legacy? Turns out this accent that he's doing, weirdest shit ever. Turns out this guy is from the Netherlands. That was supposed to be a Netherlands accent.
Yeah. What? I mean, he looked crazy. He sounded crazy. I have a couple theories about this. So I think that there's a lot of like, Baz Luhrmann wanted to make this movie and he probably got Tom Hanks as this huge namesake role, right? So he had to be gigantic in order to get the film made. Because I heard that Harry Styles wanted to play Elvis, right? Like that was his dream. But Baz Luhrmann was like, no, you're already an icon. You're already famous. I cannot have you be Elvis. I need to make somebody famous even more by playing Elvis. And that was Austin Butler, who did very well in the film, I think, for what he had.
Yeah. Okay. I thought Austin Butler was great. I thought he was the best part of the movie, but also such an insult from Baz Luhrmann to be like, I'm going to make you a star because you're so not famous.
It's like literally what Tom Hanks is doing in the movie. I'm going to make you a star, baby. Like, it's so weird.
Oh my God. Can I just say, like, I don't give a fuck about managers or agents. And I'm like, watching this relationship, I was just like, why am I remotely supposed to care about this man when he just comes off as a fucking leech on Elvis's talent?
Yeah. And I guess that is the point. I mean, I agree with you on the managers and agents stuff. I think that like in our modern day, people can get very like hung up on like, I cannot be big until I have a manager and agent, which I guess might be not a modern day thing because that's what this movie is telling us. It's telling us Elvis was so presumed by Tom Hanks and was like, okay, I must do whatever this guy says. I don't know.
Ugh.
I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like this movie forgot that it was a biopic.
Yes.
I think that, like, what you were saying before about, like, there's a moment in the movie where they try to do, like, you know, Elvis is like, Dr. King is, like, was killed so close to Memphis. Like, this is important. I need to care about it. And so, like, that's the thing of him trying to be socially progressive. But it's also, like, on the other hand, they are showing all these examples of, like, how, like, he didn't write Hound Dog. You know, like, these songs are, it was a lot of covers of songs that were already, like, really, I mean, like a lot of black gospel songs.
Completely.
And so it was, like, this weird, like, clash of, like, what are you even trying to say? Are you trying to, like, you know what I mean?
I always feel like when I'm watching a biopic, I'm always like, what is the point of this? And why am I not just watching a documentary? And you know who I think did it really, really well? I mean, we're about to talk about some biopics, but we didn't even write this one down. The TV show The Dropout. I did not give a fuck about Elizabeth Holmes until watching The Dropout. And now I think it covered it because it's like, why make a biopic? Like, if what are you trying to say about Elvis? Are you trying to explain to me his life? Because from this movie, I didn't get a single piece of it. Are you trying to say something new about Elvis? I think something that would have been really cool to talk about is how he is having this internal struggle with fame, with being famous from such a young age. Like, there's been some accounts about, like, people going on dates with Elvis, and he was really boring because he's just this weird famous guy since he was, like, 17. And I guess that is also the only critique I will say of Austin Butler. I felt like he was, like, 17 the entire movie.
Dude, there are some really boring famous people. I've met some really fucking boring famous people. Like, when you get famous really young, or, like, when you are just, like, totally emboldened by, like, an Instagram following or something. Yeah. I think a lot of people, it's like, they just have such a supportive community around them and, like, so many yes men that it's like, no one is vibe checking them on being like, oh, you're not actually funny or interesting.
Elvis should have definitely been vibe checked about stealing rock and roll and making it the biggest thing from stealing it from black people.
Okay, like, yes, absolutely give credit where credit's due, but I also don't think that that is a reality of who Elvis is. Like, I feel like Elvis has always been super open about that. I don't think Elvis tried, and I also think covers were so part of the culture in the 50s and 60s of, like, people didn't write their own music till, like, I don't know, what, late 60s, 70s?
Honestly, I don't know. I would have loved to watch a movie about it.
Agree. This is the thing is, like, they tried so hard to, like, show, like, they have these scenes of, like, this black woman singing Hound Dog. They have Elvis in the weirdest scene in the fucking movie. As, like, a child, he walks into, like, a gospel church.
Yeah.
And he has just, like, this meltdown. He's, like, the only, like, white guy in the room. And he just has, like, it looks like he's having a seizure, but I'm epileptic. He looks like he's having one of those TV seizures that's not, like, a real seizure. And I don't even know what it was supposed to be. It was just like they kept trying to hammer home how influenced he was by black music. But I was just like, okay, cool, got
now
it.
What?
And
yeah.
And what? Like, and who is this person? Because otherwise he's just like a cardboard cutout of a rock musician.
Right. And that's how the whole thing felt. I would love to like have a call. I feel like if I sat down with Baz Luhrmann at Intelligentsia, I would be like, what's Elvis about? Who's Elvis? And he would talk at me for like an hour. And maybe I'm just totally making that up. Maybe he's a really nice guy. I have no idea. But I feel like he would just talk in circles. And that's how the movie felt. Like, I have no idea what, I just feel like I watched a ton of montages that made me sick and everything was out of focus.
It was so, God, yeah, you couldn't like put your feet on the ground.
So we've been thinking about biopics, having this conversation, like, as you're watching, you're like, wait, have I even ever seen a biopic?
No, I feel like I've seen too many biopics.
Are we four
I fucking
biopics?
Can't stand biopics. I'm sick of them.
Wow.
And I think, okay, here's my hot take. I think that we need a separate category in the Oscars for biopics because
that's
I think
a
it's
really
cheating.
Good idea.
I think it's cheating to just be like, oh, I did an awesome impression of, like, whatever, Rami Malek. Like, Rami Malek, I think we can all agree, fucking sucked as Freddie Mercury, and for whatever godforsaken reason got the Oscar. I don't know why, but it's
like, I know why. I know why. For the teeth.
It's the teeth. The teeth did the acting. The teeth did the acting.
Okay, here's my thing. And I get very confused with singers if you actually should sing the music or not. Because I'm not going to lie, I'm a little impressed when you do sing the music. Like Taron Egerton, who played Elton John in Rocketman, did sing those songs. I don't know. And like Jennifer Hudson, as we know, playing Aretha Franklin. Aretha Franklin chose her specifically to play her in a biopic, which is very cool. She is
such a fucking star.
Such a star.
Has anyone been more slighted than her in American Idol? Like, Jennifer Hudson is a fucking star. I love her. Oh, wait, her so
we haven't
much.
Said anybody's sign.
Oh, right.
What Elvis is a.
Elvis is a Capricorn. Austin Butler is a Leo. Tom Hanks is a Cancer, and he was playing a Cancer in this man that no one has ever heard of, Tom Parker. Baz Luhrmann is a Virgo. I feel like maybe that's why he's so, like, specific about his vision. His vision, though, I'm just like, I never get it.
I liked The Great Gatsby, though. I really liked
Great Gatsby is probably my favorite of his. I also like Romeo plus Juliet, but I think maybe I'm just a Leo fan when I put those two
Leonardo
together.
DiCaprio, you mean.
Yeah, specifically. I'm also a fan of Leo, the Zodiac sign, but Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay, and then we go to Bohemian Rhapsody, and we have Rami Malek, who's a Taurus, and then we go to Freddie Mercury, Virgo. I don't know. I'm curious if these are, like, overlapping or if there's anything there, or I don't know.
I just feel like it's cheating. I just am kind of like, I would, like, it's the same way I'm like, I like that there is a difference in screenplay of, like, adapted screenplay versus original screenplay. I think that, like, you're doing an adapted character. So,
Academy Awards. Hello, we have a phone call. Hey. We have a phone call.
Beep, beep, beep.
We'd be like, hey, how's it going? How are you doing? You've kind of gotten better when you nominated and Parasite one of those Oscars. That was really good after the whole Green Book thing. But we just want to have a conversation. We just have an idea.
I'm always going to demand justice for A Star Is Born. That's going to be my vendetta forever.
That is the email we sent you, that A Star Is Born should be, have won. But we also just want to talk about, we think biopics are cheating. Come on, you know
it. I mean, okay, honestly, though, the last really good one I saw was Straight Out of Compton. And it was literally, like, Ice Cube's son playing him, O'Shea Jackson Jr. You know, like...
Coolest.
Everyone else, I'm always just kind of like, that's cool, but like,
I really, really liked Rocket Man. I don't know. I left and I was like, Taron Egerton could crush me and I would be so happy. Like I loved him. I loved the movie. I listened to Elton John music for the next like month constantly. I don't know. It just put me in a good little place. But that could be the trick of the music. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. The thing is, the best part about any biopic, I think, is letting the music and the performer shine. And that's really where Elvis failed, is that Austin Butler, I think, actually really did a good job. And I was prepared to find him super annoying because I think he's been really weird in this press campaign, still doing the Elvis voice.
Yeah,
but
totally. So weird.
I think he was actually really great. And every time they would get on stage, I was like, oh, cool, we're going to see him. And then they would just like cut to the crowd of like girls fucking screaming in a weird way. Or, like, they would just do these weird carousel montages of, like, carnivals and shit. Or it would cut to Tom Hanks and his weird fucking accent. Like,
I would, like, for the first, like, okay, I was gonna say hour. Then I was gonna say 30 minutes. And I literally mean first 5 minutes of the movie. First 5 minutes of the movie. Let me see him sing. Let me see a performance. Let me see something. What am I here to see? What is the whole point of this person?
Okay, the first 5 minutes are so weird. One, there's like a cartoon montage that literally never happens again.
Literally never happens again.
Two, there's like a moment with Cody Smith McPhee of
I was happy
Power
to see
of
him.
The Dog fame. I was happy I to like see him. Him. I like him. But it's like him being like, you guys gotta hear this guy, Elvis. And they're like, they start playing it and they're like, we can't play this kind of music. And then he's like, no, get this. He's white. And Tom Hanks is like, oh, he's white? My God, like, thank heavens. It was so weird. I was like, this is the weirdest way to start a movie about this.
It's so
I don't
weird.
Know.
It's so, and it's like, okay, I'm wondering if we're being too negative about this thing. We've also said very positive things about Austin Butler, you know, as we try to flip it. And I'm honestly not afraid because I think that I've listened to some other culture people talk about this. I've been reading a bunch of reviews about this, and everybody is like, what the fuck? And it kind of feels good to be like, what the fuck together as a society, not just about Roe versus Wade as, you know, the correct part of society is, but also about Elvis. We can be what the fuck about two things this week.
Okay, I feel like they crammed as much racism as possible in there. They were doing that. They had the Confederate flags hanging up. They had the N-word in there. And I was wondering if it's in Tom Hanks, America's father's contract, that he, in a movie like this, never has to be the one who says the N-word.
I'm sure it is.
I feel like it is.
I mean, he definitely wanted to play the bad guy, but we're still like, still make it an appropriate for the movie. I don't know. It was just like, it was a weird time. And I feel tricked into watching this movie. And I hope we warned you to not watch it. Just watch Austin Butler in interviews be freaking weird. That's at least a better 5 minutes of your time.
You know what? We're going to tie this back to cancer season real quick. Cancer is a nostalgic sign. Super sentimental, super into vintage shit. I think if you're in a mood to reminisce and soak up some old school content, what you should do is instead just go listen to some good music from the 50s and 60s.
That's what I was going to say.
Instead of seeing this movie because it was fucking trash, honestly.
Yeah. Okay, I am actually very excited to flip this in a very nice way to talk about our last big culture of the week is the TV show Loot. On Apple TV Plus. Do you have to say the plus when you say Apple TV? What's the deal?
I always just say Apple TV.
Yeah, but isn't there a little plus? I don't know.
Maybe.
Okay. Loot is the new TV show starring Maya Rudolph. After discovering her husband's betrayal of 20 years, billionaire Molly Novak spirals into a tabloid-filled, self-destructive spiral. To her surprise, a charitable foundation offers to help Molly get back on track.
Wait, is that the description that Apple gave?
Yeah, it's the description of the TV show.
That feels...
not right?
That feels weirdly dishonest to me.
About what?
To her surprise, a charitable foundation offers to help Molly get back on track.
Oh, I think it should be, to her surprise, Molly forces herself into this charitable situation.
Yeah, it's also not a charitable foundation. It's her charitable foundation.
Okay, maybe this is the surprise... this is the description of, like, from Google or something. We gotta figure out who wrote this. Because... we read them off of Google because we need help describing things before we really get... Loot, okay. This is a perfect TV show for me. I feel so happy to see this TV show directed by Alan Yang, who I love, and I'm going to talk about more in a second, because I get so excited to the point of anger and jealousy that I am not at this television show every single day being a part of it. It is so funny. It is so good. I think it's a great idea for a TV show. Court, how you feel?
I agree. I'm very jealous of Alan Yang's talent.
Such talent, oh my
but,
god.
But, I mean, okay. To intro the show, I think Maya Rudolph is playing, like, a Melinda Gates type. So she is just getting divorced from her billionaire tech husband.
And Mackenzie Scott, Jeff Bezos' ex-wife.
Yes. And so it's, like, in the divorce, because they started, you know, whatever, prenup, this woman becomes the third wealthiest woman in the world. She's worth, like, I think they say, like, $87 billion or something like that.
I think it's $86 billion. It's crazy.
Yeah.
She says it all the time. She just, like, yells at people, I'm worth $86 billion. But because it's Maya Rudolph and she's so charming and adorable and you love her, it is the perfect casting because you're like, Maya Rudolph, you can have whatever you want.
Yeah. I really like it as an ensemble show. I think they have great characters. I love Maya Rudolph, and I'm very glad to see her in a starring role. Like,
yes.
It's because I feel like she has not really found her spot super well since SNL.
I was going to say, a show that I love, directed by Alan Yang, is called Forever. And I feel like it got really lost. It was about June and Oscar, played by Fred Armisen and Maya Rudolph. And it was, they had this, like, predictable suburban life, completely fine, and then one day everything switches and their marriage is basically in the afterlife. And there was one season of the show, I think it's on Amazon Prime, you can go watch it. I loved this show. I gobbled it all up. I was so sad when it just kind of floated away to nothing. There was a great bottle episode in this show that I thought was great. And when I was watching Loot, like, I just dove in. I didn't really look up anything about it beforehand. Afterwards, as soon as it said directed by Alan Yang, I was like, yes, I knew it. This makes so much sense because this is like the show they worked on together after doing the TV show Forever.
Alan Yang, for those who do not know, he did Master of None with Aziz Ansari, and then kind of after Aziz Ansari got canceled, he sort of went off on his own. He was a writer for Parks and Rec, and now he's done some cool things on his own.
Yeah, I feel like we hear the name like Mike Schur a lot, who, you know, created The Office, who created Parks and Rec, but this name,
I fucking love Mike Schur.
Oh, who doesn't? Who doesn't love Mike Schur? But now we're like,
Good Place.
He's
a genius. He's married to J.J. Philbin, who is, one, the creator of The OC, two, Regis Philbin's daughter. Insane.
Did not know that. Love that. Oh my God.
This is my Mike Schur fact drop, if you know who Mike Schur is.
What is his sign? What's Mike Schur's sign?
Mike Schur is a Scorpio.
Mike Schur is a Scorpio. Alan Yang is a Leo. Maya Rudolph is a Leo. And we are about to shout out the rest of this cast, which I think is really, really great. Who I'm loving is Michaela J. Rodriguez, which I never watched Pose, and she won an Emmy for Pose. And I love seeing her in this role. She plays like the counter to Maya Rudolph as the strict person running the charity and who takes no bullshit and wants to work really hard. And then Maya's like this like rich person who comes in and is like, LOL, I'm gonna fly you to Miami. And here's the thing. That is a trope. That is a comedic partnership that I will watch forever. I'm gonna watch them be like that forever. It's so funny.
I love Pose. And so I am a big fan of MJ Rodriguez, and I was so excited to see her on this. And
she's so good.
Yeah. She's a Capricorn in real life, and I feel like she plays this very no-nonsense character really well. Like, on Pose, I was like, I thought she was like a Scorpio or something. Like, something very, like, claws-out protective. Mm-hmm. And in this, I feel like she's doing kind of a similar thing, but it's coming off as so much... I will say she's coming off as so much less fun. Like, I miss how funny she is, because she's really funny in Pose.
I think it's going to get there. There's definitely been 3 episodes of this television show out, so we're very early on this train.
That's true.
But I do think... I get really impressed with early episodes of TV because I think there's a lot of exposition to set up, especially in the show, which is definitely branding itself as an ensemble show. Other people in the show we should talk about is Joel Kim Booster, who plays Maya's assistant. Oh my God, I can watch that relationship forever as well. Like,
He's so funny.
He's so cute. Something about his face, the way it like moves, I don't know. I get like overwhelmed by cuteness as I do when I'm looking at my dog. I hope that's okay to say.
I know. Something about that feels wrong.
but I love it. I just want to like go, do, I love
just,
you.
Just like smush his cheeks.
Yeah, no, it's no, just there's, like, he's so good.
There's a moment when like in the show when she cancels like a Miami trip to stay with the charity and she like thinks she's doing such a good thing and they're like, okay, whatever. You're like at your own charity for a day. And he's just like, you normies are so ungrateful. He's like, he's really funny. I don't know. He's
so
great.
Funny. So we were thinking about this show in relationship to Succession. Succession. Which, okay. Of course, who doesn't know Succession? Do we have to describe Succession?
Succession, HBO show, riff on the Murdochs, very much like a Republican media conglomerate billionaire family. Riff on King Lear.
Yes, very much King Lear. Who's going to take over the throne when the main character of Logan goes away? And it's similar because we're making a lot of TV shows lately about billionaire people.
So here's my thought. I immediately thought of Succession watching this, one, because it's like another billionaire show, but also because I was thinking, like, I feel like wealth discrepancy and like disparity has been so at the forefront of like whatever the American conversation ever since like, what is it? Occupy Wall Street. Mm-hmm. Like the last like decade or two has been so, we've seen so much conversation about just like fuck the wealthy. And yet, I think when people want to comment on it, even leftists, even people who are like, I feel like I'm on the right side of history. Like, even when they want to do this and be like, fuck billionaires, we only ever see it from the billionaire perspective. And it's like impossible for them to not be like, aren't billionaires cool? Look at this sick boat. Look at this sick trip to Miami. Don't you wish this was you? And I'm like, why do we only ever see it this way? I don't know.
So Loot is definitely doing a better job at that than Succession, because Loot has the MJ Rodriguez character who is saying like, this isn't that, like, I don't want to do this. Like, I don't want to get on your plane. I don't want to do this. But in Succession, I'm like, oh my God, this wealthiness is crazy. But wow. I also have a fun fact about Succession. Who plays Logan's brother? His name as the character, I cannot remember. Ewan. Yes, he plays this like very leftist character who is also very rich, and but also isn't a part of the media conglomerate because he doesn't want to use his money in that way. So that actor didn't only agree to be on the show if he could play this left character. He was like, I don't like that this show is only showing it from the right side, even though it is so like a satirical commentary on it. And Jesse Armstrong, who is writing the show, is such a genius writer who is putting so much of this, like, trying to show this truth for what it is. But he also was like, my character has to be this left guy who hates my brother. That's the only way I'll do the show.
Something I will say I think Succession is better at than Loot is making it clear that, like, being rich will never make you happy. Even though I do think that's a central point of Loot, I think Succession makes it really clear how miserable they are. Do you know what I mean? Like, they never seem happy in a single episode. Whereas in Loot, it's like, she's still having fun. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's like, check out my fun goodie bags. Like,
I guess that's the difference between writing a show that is more sitcom-y than writing a show that is, I don't know what category is Succession in at the Emmys. It's in the drama category, right?
It's the drama category. And it's funny because I remember there was this profile of Jeremy Strong where were like,
who could
Kieran Culkin's playing it as a comedy. Jeremy Strong is playing it like Hamlet. And I was like, that is damn true. And I love it. I love that they have both in one show. I think it's great.
When that article came out, everybody came to, like, it was kind of talking about how Jeremy Strong is a method actor because he's a successor of Daniel Day-Lewis. And everybody was
coming to his, method actors. I'm sorry.
I mean, here's the deal. Jeremy Strong is a great fucking actor. And here's
They're amazing. I'm just like, so I would never want to work with you on anything. I would kill myself if I had to work with you.
That's the whole point. Everybody was coming to his rescue. Like, Anne Hathaway gets on Instagram and is like, Jeremy Strong is a nice guy. I don't know what you're talking about. It's like, okay, you guys, okay. All we said is that he acts intensely on set. We don't need to all come to his rescue. He's doing fine. And I read the article and it actually, I think, put him in such a beautiful light. Like, I can't believe the guy who wrote it followed him around to like Italy for a month and was just like with his family the whole time. I don't know.
I thought it was like Hunter Harris. Am I crazy?
Hunter Harris did not. No, Hunter Harris definitely wrote a piece about that piece.
Okay, wait.
Which I also read. It's a New Yorker article, not written. I can't remember who it's written by. It's some guy. Hunter Harris definitely had words to say about this because she's Hunter Harris and she's amazing. Harris is a person on Twitter who writes a great Substack that you should all read.
Anyway, she's just a great culture critic. Big fan.
So what do we need to make a TV show about from the poor, how do we fix this?
I don't know. I mean, I think there are shows that are showing a different perspective, things like, you know, Reservation Dogs, but I just see so much less conversation and promotion around them.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, it's just been a long time since we've had like a really big success from the other perspective, like, you know, like The Wire or something. Right. I don't know. That's just my thought is like, watching it, I was kind of like, it's just that my immediate comparison was Succession.
Yeah.
And all I could think was like, God, it kind of sucks that people our age are constantly talking about like, fuck billionaires. We can't help but make shows that make billionaires look cool.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah, I don't know. Because it does, you're right, it does look cool. I want to have... something I love that David Chang makes her dinner every night on Loot. That's a gag that they have. And I knew that immediately. I was like, that's David Chang. Oh, my God. That's so funny that he is there cooking her famous chef, David Chang.
He's funny. I saw him on another show recently.
He has his own show. He has his own TV show.
No, but I saw him on...
He's around.
We're gonna look this up. I saw him on, I want to say, a fictional show recently.
He's really funny. Are you gonna keep watching?
Yeah, I'm totally gonna keep watching.
Yeah, same.
I would like to do a quick astrology shout out here because I thought this was really interesting. So, as we mentioned, Maya Rudolph is a Leo playing this, like, you know, divorcee billionaire. Melinda Gates is a Leo, And Bill Gates is a Scorpio. And then Mackenzie Scott, who is Jeff Bezos' ex-wife, is an Aries. And Bill Gates is a Scorpio. Jeff Bezos is a Capricorn. Adam Scott, who's playing, you know, that billionaire type, is an Aries. And so I was thinking about this pattern, and I was like, oh, these are like fire sign women who were like so loyal, because that's such a, fire signs are loyal. So loyal, so passionate, and so like there for you, but can't handle the disrespect. We're like, fuck the disrespect, fuck the lack of attention. And also like, I mean, not, this is a full stereotype. I don't even believe this myself, but Scorpio and Capricorn definitely get the reputation for being the most evil signs. And so I was like thinking about this, and I was like, okay, we have Maya Rudolph, a Leo, playing, I mean, I think Melinda Gates is probably the most comparable.
I think it's Mackenzie Scott. I think she's playing Mackenzie Scott, which, because that's what happened. She got divorced and she became the highest earning woman in America or something like that. I guess the Melinda Gates is newer. It's a newer divorce. But I guess that's another reason I was so freaking envious, angry, jealous of the show, because I was like, that is so genius. That is so genius to just take this headline, Mackenzie Scott becomes the richest woman because she divorced Jeff Bezos, and then make it a whole TV show. It's a genius TV show. It's like, yeah I want to watch that show. I want to watch that documentary. Here's the thing. For every show, I want to watch a documentary. For every documentary, I want to hear a podcast. For every podcast, I want to hear a podcast about that podcast. And then I want to watch a reel about it on my TikTok and then send it to my friends and then have dreams about it.
Oh my God. Can you tell we love culture?
Okay. That was Loot. That was Succession.
All right. Speaking of culture, we're going to do our final wrap up, which is that we're going to try and convince each other to watch something that we didn't watch of each other, that we didn't both watch.
So a little peel behind the curtain. We had some ideas for things we wanted to watch. You know, as you do, you're talking with your friends. You're like, did you see this? Did you see that? I watched one thing and Courtney watched another. And so we're going to literally put a minute timer on and try to convince the other person to watch the third and fourth culture that we're here to talk about today. I'll go first because you have the timer. One minute.
It's our
first one. The question.
This is our first one.
It's our first. Did I convince you? Here we go.
All right, let's go. Ready? Rachel, start.
You gotta hold it up. I gotta see it. Okay. Courtney, you need to watch Would It Kill You to Laugh, the new Peacock special with Kate Burnett and John Early. Okay, this is really funny. I'm sure I pronounced all of those things wrong. Would It Kill You to Laugh? It's on Peacock. It is 52 minutes. It is so funny. It is their sketch version of them playing exaggerated versions of themselves. So basically, they get this to be real by doing a interview with Meredith Vieira herself. She comes back and she interviews them, and basically they're playing these actors who were once famous together and then had a breakup, and now we're going back through their life to see why they're no longer friends anymore. A gagging bit they have is they keep doing caramel as currency. Basically, when you go to a restaurant, you have to pay with hot caramel. It is so funny. It is bit through the whole show. The show made me feel very serious. Like, I felt like I was watching dramatic actors, which is why it became so funny to watch them be the silliest situations, because they were so freaking dramatic. They would be our friends. They would be our friends. That's what I have to say.
Okay. All right.
So, what do you think?
I mean, I think I'm going to watch it. I'm a huge fan of them. Huge fan.
Oh, it definitely was this like self-serious comedy, honestly. Like, I have not stopped thinking about it since I watched it, which kind of, like, because I think they were playing, I don't mean self-serious, I mean like they were playing it so real, which made it funny. Kind of like Jeremy Strong in Succession.
They were method acting as themselves.
They were method acting as themselves. Okay, so this is how new this is. I opened my calculator.
Oh, and quick astrology note, Kate Berlant is a Cancer and John Early is an Aquarius.
All right, Corey, are you ready for your 1 minute? Your 1 minute, did I convince you?
Yes, ready? I am ready. Okay.
Go.
All right, Irma Vep on HBO. Irma Vep is about Mira, played by Alicia Vikander, an American movie star who is disillusioned by her career and a recent breakup, comes to France to star as Irma Vep in a remake of the French silent film classic Les Vampires. This is being adapted from a 1996 version that the same filmmaker made with Maggie Cheung. He later married her for a few years, and then they got divorced. The filmmaker is named Olivier Assayas. It doesn't fucking matter. I think Alicia Vikander is really shining in this. It has a lot of, like, queer themes. It's been really sexy and interesting. The name Irma Vep is one of the shittiest names I've ever seen for this, but it is an anagram, I don't know what the word is for this, for vampire. And once I found that out, I was like, oh, that's why they have this fucking shitty name that's not going to convince anyone to watch this. I've heard that there is a racial element related to Maggie Cheung being replaced by a white woman, so I'm excited to find out what that is, but they actually talk about it and it's really self-referential.
Time. Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, the name thing is what got me, because it is a shitty name.
It's such a bad name, and it took me so long to be convinced to watch a single episode, and then once I did watch that first episode, I was like, oh, I like this. But yeah. I will say, these are like one-hour episodes. It's very HBO in the sense of, like, I could never binge Succession. I could never binge Game of Thrones, but I deeply, deeply love these shows when you give them, like, a week to sink in, and, like, you really, like, pay attention for that hour. So this is kind of one of those. This is, honestly though, the show is so fucking funny. It really makes fun of French people and how fucking annoying and pretentious they are. And I love French people. Full Francophile. I mean, we mentioned Paris eight times on our top 10 Gemini episode. So, like, big Francophile over here, and I think it's so fucking funny. And the filmmaker has, like, a character inserted that's, like, himself. And he really makes fun of himself, and he addresses the Maggie Cheung thing in it, and he addresses, like, why he's doing a remake of his own content.
Yeah. I think that the show should use your minute, because you really explained a lot of questions I had. Because you did text me and you're like, Maggie Cheung. And I was like, I'm confused about this racial element. And then the vampires. I'm like, wait, what? There's vampires? Okay. You convinced me, but I guess we're going to have to find out on our next culture catch-up if we were convinced or not. And if we convinced others, let us know via the Instagram.
It's very much about, like, acting. It makes fun of, like, Marvel a lot. Mm. And, like, not specifically Marvel, but she's kind of, like, she's sort of, like, she reminded What's me of, like, sign? Natalie Portman. Alicia Vikander? Ooh, I want to say she's a Libra.
Oh, well, we're going to have to see. We're going to have to wait. We're going to have to wait till the fact check. I'm not going to let you say. We're going to have to wait.
I already looked it up and she's a Libra and I'm wrong. Oh, sorry.
You did a great job. You did a great job. You took Ezra's job. Sorry. I do want to put that
up. Sorry, Ezra. Okay. Robbed of a line.
Wow, I feel good after getting all these thoughts out.
Yeah.
Is how I feel. Let's end with some compliments. So Courtney and I realized that we would sound insane if we just keep complimenting each other. So we're going to allow us to compliment each other if we want. We're going to allow us to compliment other things. The goal is just to end on a positive note.
Yeah. So we're just going to do our compliment. Rachel, what do you want to compliment this week?
I would like to compliment my dog. Okay.
Hell yeah. So shouts to Freya.
My dog's name is Freya. She is a husky. She is very cute. Very cute. And I want to compliment her because I brought her on the trip that I went to. And, like, it was, like, by Big Sur area. And she behaved so well. Like, I had her off leash and she wouldn't run away into the, you know, the desert. She kind of stayed close to us, and she was, you know, we did some drugs, and she was a great dog just to be there when you needed her, and she loved everybody, and I love my dog.
Oh my god, is there anything better than a soft dog when you're on drugs?
Oh, like, it was great.
Just like a soft pillow of a dog.
That's what she is, and I just want to give her a little compliment.
Oh, shouts to Freya.
Court, compliment?
Okay, maybe this is annoyingly serious, but I'm going to give a compliment to everyone who went and protested after the Roe v. Wade decision. I personally was kind of like, I can't do this right now. I was really, like, upset and doom scrolling. And so I was like, I gotta deal with my own peace. And I'm just going to prioritize joy and my own happiness as my own little form of whatever, taking back the power.
That's not annoyingly serious at all. It's a huge shout out to amazing people who are.
Yeah.
That's what protesting is, standing up for your community.
Absolutely. Seeing, like, some of my friends, some of, like, my brother's girlfriend, seeing, like, their protest signs, I was just so proud of them. Like, I was just like, this is fucking cool. Like, I'm so happy to know you guys. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're gonna, everybody is donating, everybody is continuing to have this conversation. It is such a fucked up situation. Oh my God.
And shouts to disabled people who were doing like social justice campaigns online and, you know, performing activism in the ways that they could. Like, yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was empowering experiencing this primal scream that felt so connecting. It felt so, I don't know. It just, yeah, it felt like in the face of discrimination, it felt nice to be like, oh, we're all in this together and we all think this is fucked up. And like women and non-binary people who I don't always have, you know, necessarily a connection to, it felt like we were all like, it was like very like High School Musical. We're all in this together, you know, like we're all fucking furious and disappointed and depressed and just so upset right now, but also so impassioned to respond. And that was great.
Yeah. I think it's a good thing to say to other people. You're not alone. You're in this together. Yeah.
Totally.
Wow. Wow. I think we covered so much. I'm so proud of you. I just feel proud of us. And
I'm proud of us.
Have a really good week, everybody. And you can support us on Anchor. You can leave us a review on Apple Podcast. And you can please repost, DM us on Instagram, comment to let us know who the top 10 cancers should be. We love interacting with people because we are Geminis. Thank you.
Woo! Thank you for listening, y'all. We'll see you next Thursday.
So, here's where they went wrong. By the way, this is Ezra, and as someone who has a moon in Cancer, let me tell you, it's that time. All right, so, moon water can technically be made during any moon phase. It's just considered most potent during the full moon. Courtney mentioned some rules. The only rule is work was coined by Sister Coretta Lynch at the Immaculate Heart College Art Department, not the Berklee College of Music. Michael Phelps did, in fact, smoke weed at one point, and perhaps he still does. Penelope Cruz is a Taurus, not a Cancer. Tom Hanks' character in Elvis was Colonel Tom Parker. While it is officially Apple TV Plus, I think Apple TV is good enough. The Jeremy Strong profile, in which he says he is playing it like Hamlet, is written by Michael Shulman, not Hunter Harris. Courtney might have seen David Chang in an episode of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Unclear. And lastly, Rachel mispronounced Kate Berlant as Burnett.